Good evening.
We're very excited to have you with us tonight for another opportunity to worship together. I'm very happy to have my mom and dad, Dave and Carolyn, here this evening with us. So I'm sure they'll want to meet each of you if they haven't already. Two weeks ago, an elder and his wife, Lindsay and Joy Champion, attended the Katie's Church of Christ near Hopkinsville, Kentucky. It was a normal Sunday. In fact, the minister commented that it was an exceptional day. The weather was perfect. The service went extremely well. But later that afternoon, Lindsay and Joy and their adult daughter, Emily, who's 31 years old, they were found murdered in their own home. Now, their son, Ryan, who's 36, has been charged with their murders. Even those who love God are not shielded from tragedy within the family. If you have your Bible, then let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. They reached out and took the fruit that God had commanded them, You shall not eat it. But even though they were to be removed from the tree of life, God still loved them. The man and the woman who were made in His image. He fashioned clothing for them to wear. And once they were outside of paradise on earth, God blesses the man and the woman with two sons. The older, Cain, and the younger, Abel. It says that Cain was a farmer and his brother Abel was a shepherd. Now, it came time for them to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, and Cain took produce from his fields and he gave that to God, and Abel took sheep from his flocks and gave that as an offering. But God was not pleased with both of them. It says that Abel's offering was accepted, but Cain's offering, God had no regard for it. Now, why do you think that was? Was God simply playing favorites? Well, Abel, I love you, but Cain, I'm sorry, you don't make the cut. I don't love you as much as I love your brother, so I'm going to reject your sacrifice. Why was Cain's sacrifice rejected? Perhaps it's because he didn't give God what he asked for. From a human perspective, his offering makes a lot of sense. Cain is a farmer, and what does he do? He brings produce from his fields, and that's what he gives to God. Abel is a shepherd. What does he provide? He brings sheep from his flock, and he gives that to God. But it's at least possible that God had specifically said, I want you to give me an animal sacrifice. Abel did that. God was pleased. Perhaps Cain decided to give something different. Now, this is a concept that each of us are familiar with. Let's suppose that you are dining in a cafe with some of your friends, and the waitress walks to your table, she takes your drink order, and then she gives you a few moments to glance over the menu. You're perusing the sandwich section, you decide that you want a hamburger. So the waitress comes back and she says, well, what would you like? And you say, well, I'd like a hamburger. And then you say, I want it to be cooked medium well. And I'd like ketchup and mayonnaise and cheese and pickles. 15 minutes pass and she brings back your burger. You take off the top of the bun and you look down, you see ketchup and mayonnaise and cheese and pickles. But there's one addition. There's raw onions on the hamburger. And you don't like raw onions. And perhaps you would just take them off, but what they've done is they've diced them up and they're melted in with the cheese, and so you can't. Now, maybe some of us would smile at the waitress and say, oh, that looks good, thank you. But I think there's at least probably one person in here, or a few of us, that would say, this isn't what I asked for. Isn't it like that with God? Lord, I know that you asked us to sing, but I thought that something else would be more beautiful. I'm sorry, but that isn't what I asked for. Lord, I know that you pled for unity, but it's impossible for everyone to interpret the Bible in the same way. I'm sorry, but that isn't what I asked for. Lord, I understand that you've asked for immersion, but I thought that something else would work. I'm sorry, but that isn't what I asked for. Perhaps Cain did give God what he requested. Maybe God just said, I want you to give me a sacrifice. And it can be an animal sacrifice. It can come from your fields. Let's notice what it says in verse 4. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. God seems to place a big stamp of approval on Abel's sacrifice. Abel didn't go to his flocks and find a sheep that was sick or had some kind of disease. It says that he brought of his firstborn. It seems to intimate that Abel went amongst his flocks and he found the very best that he could give to God. Did Cain do that? Did he give his best? In John chapter 2, Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, performs his first miracle. He amazes everyone, including his mother, when he turns water into wine. What does the master of the house say when he tastes the wine right before he gives it to the groom? This is better than what we were serving before. Or rather, isn't it the case that you serve the best wine first? And then when everyone has drunk freely, then you get out the wine that's not as good? Now why do you do that? Because your guests matter to you. Let's suppose that your favorite author is coming to town for a book signing. You wait in line with your copy in hand for several hours, and then you're just a few feet away from the table. And you notice that the author is having an unpleasant conversation with her agent. Apparently, all the hotels in town are booked. You say, "Excuse me, I'm not trying to eavesdrop on your conversation, but I want to let you know that if you need a place to stay, then I have room to accommodate you." They graciously accept your offer, and then they come to your house. Now, what kind of hospitality are you going to provide for your favorite author? Are you going to say, "Oh, well, here's this old futon. You can just sleep right here. This is perfect. And you know what? I've got some cold Pop-Tarts for breakfast in the morning." Is that what you're going to do? Of course not. You're going to say, "This is our best room. If you need anything, let me know." Maybe you would ask, "What kind of breakfast items do you like?" And then maybe you'd even run to the grocery store and pick up a few things. Why is that? Because when you have a special person staying with you, you give them your very best. Isn't that how it should be with God? The Lord had regard for Abel, but for Cain, He did not have regard. Let's see how Cain responds to God, or to the situation. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do well, sin is crouching. If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Now, how does Cain respond when he realizes that God is not pleased with his life? He's angry. He's angry with God. He's angry with his brother. God says to him, "Cain, I need you to understand something. Sin is crouching at the door, and it's ready to pounce if you don't repent." And that's exactly what happens. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Now, I don't know what Cain said to Abel. It says Cain spoke to his brother Abel. Maybe he told Abel that he wanted to talk with him about something. "Abel, I noticed that God was pleased with your sacrifice. Maybe I can find out a way for my sacrifice to be more pleasing to God." We don't know what he said, but we know what his intentions were. He wanted to lure his brother out into the open. I'm glad I only got one yawn. We'll keep this going. Abel had no reason to believe that going into this field was going to be the last thing he was going to do. No one up until this point had even died yet. So Cain is alone with his brother, and he strikes him down. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain, where is your brother? Cain, your brother, where is he? "I don't know, Lord. Am I my brother's keeper?" You know what? The word brother is listed 6 times in verses 8 through 11. God says to Cain, "Cain, I need you to understand something. You killed your own brother. His blood is crying out to me from the ground." You know, this conversation is strikingly similar to the one that God had with Adam and Eve in the garden. "Where are you?" "Well, Lord, I hid myself because I was afraid. The woman that you gave to me, she tempted me to do this." And the woman says, "Well, the serpent. But what does Cain say? "Lord, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" The Bible doesn't seem to indicate that Cain repented. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his own brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous." Cain saw that God was pleased with Abel. It made him angry with his brother. It made him angry with God. He saw an opportunity to take advantage of his brother, and that's exactly what he did. And then God says, "The blood of your brother is crying out to me from the ground." Cain did not repent. Cain did not take responsibility for his actions, and there were consequences. God banished him from ever being with his family again. Adam and Eve had just left the Garden of Eden. They were living right next to paradise. But what did God say? Sin is crouching at the door. Now, what about for you and I? As Christians, we too are on the edge of paradise. Hasn't Jesus told us, "I have gone to prepare a place for you"? For us, we are right on the edge of being with Him and worshiping Him and serving Him forever and having that perfect home with Him. But God is still saying the same thing to us. Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you know what the good news is? God says we can rule over it. I want to leave us with this verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 37. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are more than conquerors. Yes, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. Its desire is for me. But that doesn't have to be our fate. We don't have to end up like Cain. We don't have to do the unthinkable for us maybe that would be a different act than he did. But if we are willing to completely trust Him, then we can be free from those types of behaviors. If you're here tonight and you know that you are not putting your hope and trust in Him and you want to do that this evening, then please come now as we stand, as we sing.